Live from College Park, Butler at Maryland, Wednesday evening starting at 8 on 930 WFMD.
622 at WFMD. It's Tuesday, November 14th, and we are joined by the county executive of Frederick County. Her name is Jan Gardner. County Executive Gardner, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing well. How are you today?
I'm fine. You sounded chipper. You're sounding awake. I like that.
Well, I'm awake. Once I have some coffee, I'm always awake.
All right, let's start off with something that's really not county, kind of county, but not really county. But, you know, you're a Democrat, so you're obviously pretty happy with the city elections.
Yes, I am. I'm happy with the recent election announcements in general.
Yeah, so, I mean, tell me what you think that will do with the relationship between the county and the city. And I don't think that you had it. You know, adversarial type of relationship with the city beforehand, but I mean, does this look like a group of people that you'll be able to work with in the future if you need to?
Oh, absolutely. And I will say that I meet at least once a month, frequently, with the current mayor, Randy McClement, and we have a good working relationship. And I've enjoyed working with Randy, and so I certainly want to acknowledge that and say thank you to Randy for all his great service to the city of Frederick. I do look forward to having a good working relationship with Michael O'Connor as the incoming mayor, and I will be hopefully meeting with him here before Thanksgiving to talk about a few ideas for things we can work on in the future. So I think we'll continue to have a great working relationship with the city of Frederick.
All right, now let's get down to county business. You recently reviewed and discussed, your agreements made by the previous board and how you've kind of changed the DRRAs, which is, if I'm not mistaken, Development Rights and Responsibilities Agreements. Is that what it's called?
Right. They're development agreements. I think that's simpler than saying developer rights and responsibilities agreements, but the last board did enter into 14 of these developer rights and responsibilities agreements. They're agreements that the county had not ever previously used and that no other county in Maryland uses today. And so I presented a summary of the 14 DRA agreements that had been entered into. And some of them were short-term and for small developments. Some were for large developments. Overall, they're for about 14,000 housing units. And at the end of the day, these agreements, 12 out of 14 of them, provided absolutely no new public benefit, but yet the county traded away its right to legislate and have legislation impact these developments. And in some cases, allowed fees to be frozen and allowed the development projects, I believe all of them, were able to buy out of the school adequacy provisions of the Adequate Public Facilities Ordinance.
So, now, really, what does that mean, buy out? Does that just mean they pay the county a large sum of money for the county then to be able to turn around and build a school if they want to?
Well, the county government has collected impact fees for schools for probably 25 years or longer. The buyout fee that I talk about is an additional fee called a school mitigation fee. And it allows a development that's, and all of these are residential developments, by the way, allows them to pay this extra fee and continue to build, even if schools are overcrowded and no school is planned to be built. And the concept would be that, yeah, you'll have more money so you can build the school sooner. But it doesn't work out that way because the fee is not adequate to actually build the school. And these 14 DRAs in total, if and when they pay the entirety of the fees that they could pay, it's about $77 million, which is about enough to build one middle school or at most two elementary schools, but more like one and a half elementary schools. So it's not enough to build the schools that we've identified that we need to support these 14,000 new houses.
We're talking with County Executive Jan Gardner on the Morning News Express on Free Talk 930 WFMD. And I'm not, I don't want to be adversarial because I'm not big on, I mean, I've been here all my life, so I would
right.
much
I
rather.
Think one of the biggest issues we have in our county is how we grow and the pace of how we grow.
Absolutely.
And where we grow. And to have these 14,000 houses and these agreements And to not time that development with our ability to provide schools is a real failure on the part of government. So I have proposed a bill to change future DRAs and our ability to consider them and to limit them to only large developments that require that the county get a public enhanced benefit and to make them shorter term. So, and again, no other county in Maryland right now is using these DRAs. A couple that have tried them have eliminated them entirely because they have not really benefited their counties.
My question is, and we'll have to take a break, and hopefully you can stay through the news, but briefly, when did it become, and has it always been, the responsibility of a developer or a housing development to be the one to build the schools, and they don't have any say in it. They just have to put up the land and the money to do so, and then the schools, then the county decides. But when did that become the norm?
Well, none of these require a developer to put up a land and a school, so I'm not quite sure where you are getting that from. So, but I'll talk to you more after the news.
All right, great. Let's figure that out, because I've always been under the assumption that that's what you said, you know, to help build schools and so forth, and they're building it, not enough schools. So we'll talk about that when we come back, and we'll do that on the Morning News Express, plus a bunch of other things going on with the county executive, Jan Gardner, on the Morning News Express, Free Talk 930 WFMD. Now's
come. Hi, this is Patricia Watkins. I live in Frederick, Maryland, and it's time to rise and shine with the Morning News Express on WFMD.
All right. Let's go back to our conversation with County Executive Jan Gardner on the Morning News Express. And want to go back to the development rights and responsibilities. And we were talking about schools when we took a break. And I noticed, like, just take Lansdale. Lansdale talks about some of their rights and responsibilities. And it says schools failed. Developer chose the option to pay the school construction fees. Now, you say that that's less than what the schools actually cost. Is there a way to change that part of the fees? But these are already in place, so was there a way to amend these or not?
There is a way to amend the school mitigation fee, and I have a bill that proposes that we increase the fee that was initiated during the term of the prior board to reflect the increase in the cost of school construction. And that's before the council as well.
And that's so that the and that's the
with school construction, but it still doesn't provide enough money to actually build the schools. So if you look at the Lansdale development, all of the requirements that developer has to contribute to roads and schools were all done at zoning or through the adequate public facilities ordinance. The developer's rights and responsibilities agreements restates them. It doesn't give us anything in addition. And in exchange, it freezes their building excise tax fee at zero, which is the fee developers would pay into regional transportation improvements. Most of these projects have their fees at zero for that purpose, and it allows them to pay the school mitigation fee. And to continue to build, even if schools are at 150% of capacity or 200% of capacity, they can continue to pay this fee and pay and go. And I will tell you, other counties don't allow that either. And what we've done for the last 25 years is if a project failed the school APFO, they had the option to build that needed school or school addition or to wait until the county could afford to build the needed school, which is what most of them did. And that's how we timed development with our ability to provide schools. The DRAs and this buyout fee have meant that we are going to have school overcrowding. We are not going to have enough money from development to pay for the needed schools. And so we're going to have more severely overcrowded schools.
Okay, so
and that's the scenario that was delivered.
Right. Well, let me ask you a question then. So if these developers, and I'll ask the question again, when did it become the norm for developments to have to pay for schools?
The development has never paid for in the entirety of a school. What they've done for the last 25 years is they've paid their fair share through an impact fee, which would not necessarily build a whole school. It would pay an equivalent amount for the new seats needed for that development if they did not exist. And that's a calculation that's done by a third-party consultant and updated every few years. or they had to basically wait. So they couldn't move forward until schools were adequate. So it just, the project would be zoned and approved, but it couldn't get building permits and move forward until the schools were adequate. So really, it was just a timing mechanism. That's what the APFO was. And now the timing mechanism has been removed because these large developments and a few small ones have been allowed to pay this buyout fee. And again, a couple other counties in Maryland have tried this. It hasn't worked well. They've gotten rid of it. So what I've proposed is a couple of bills. One is to raise the school mitigation fee to just correspond with the rising cost of school construction, because that's gone up since 2014 when the last fee was set, and to limit the use of DRAs, because it really gives away a lot to the developers from the standpoint that the county can't pass new laws that impact that development. So the only way to try to time development with our ability to provide schools is through a clause that protects public health and welfare. And at some point when schools get severely overcrowded, the county can say, we have a public health issue in our schools, and we're going to put development on a pause. But that's a terrible way to plan for the timing of schools with development.
We're talking with County Executive Jan Gardner. Can you hang on for another segment, please?
I certainly can.
I would appreciate that. It's 640 at WFMD. Let's get a look at your 930 WFMD traffic for Mid-Maryland commuters. Diana Gipton has the details.
Slow ride for you as you're traveling on 270 southbound. You hit your delay.
930 WFMD.
643 at WFMD. It is the Morning News Express. And the phone with us is County Executive Jan Gardner. She joins us at least once a month to talk about county issues. And Executive Gardner, I don't want to get a whole, you know, I don't want to get bogged down with DRAs.
The complexity of the whole thing.
It really is, because it sounds like to me that it's a vicious circle, because it's like, okay, builders can't build unless there's a school being, you know, unless there's an adequate APFO, and yet there's not enough money to make schools be built unless the builders build and give them money to have be built, right?
We have enough money to build some schools. And the county does build schools regularly.
Mm-hmm. And we build and give them money to have be built, right?
We have enough money to build some schools. And the county does build schools regularly.
Mm-hmm.
And we try to balance the need for new schools with the renovation of existing schools. We're looking to construct and replace the Rock Creek School, which is a school for students with special needs. And so We can afford to build some schools. The reality, though, is in some parts of the county, we're going to have an increased demand for school because the population of students is going to grow.
Right.
So a lot of development was approved, again, by the last administration in the New Market, Lake Linganore area, through Monrovia, some expansion down in Urbana. And the city of Frederick has approved a tremendous amount of development on the west side of the city of Frederick, which doesn't have to comply with the county APFO. So in those areas, we are going to have school overcrowding. And we've always, for 25 years, I think we did a better job of trying to time schools with when they were needed. And I think that just makes good sense. We don't need to allow development to continue when schools are at 150% of capacity. But that is what the last board thought was the right thing to do. They thought it was okay to overcrowd our schools without a plan to build the new schools. And they put those into contracts. And so what I'm trying to do is not repeat that, to never allow it to happen again. And I've put forward a bill to limit the use of developer rights and responsibilities. I put forward a bill to increase the school mitigation fee, which is optional. If a developer wants to build when schools are overcrowded, they have to pay an extra fee. That's what that is. And I've also put forward a bill to strengthen our forest resource ordinance. So when there's clear cutting of trees, like we saw around Oakdale High School, there has to be a replacement of trees. All of that clear cutting people saw in the Lake Linganore area required no mitigation. And it would have prior to 2011, but again, those laws were weakened. So I'm really just trying to go back to where we were initially, where we maintained forest cover in the county. And so if trees were removed for development, they were mitigated someplace else.
Why doesn't the city have to comply with the rules of the county?
The city of Frederick and all municipalities, all 157 municipalities in the state of Maryland, have their own land use authority. And so they have their own rules and regulations that apply to that development. So in the city of Frederick and in most municipalities, not all of them, some have pretty strong APFOs or adequate public facilities ordinance that were equivalent to what the county had prior to 2010. But the city of Frederick has a wait and go bill. They basically say if schools are overcrowded, the developer has to wait a certain number of years, but if the county hasn't built a school in 3 years or put a school into the plan, the developer gets to build anyway. So at least they have a little bit of a wait and go, where under what the last board did, there was just no wait. They could just go.
We're talking with County Executive Jan Gardner. I got one more thing, and then we'll let you go. Recently, I had Councilman Billy Shreve on the program and was talking about the flow of information that is in county government and how the hoops he says he has to go through to get information. And I asked him, I said, well, is that just the management style of the current administration, your administration, or is that something that's in the charter? Because I really don't know. And talking about how he gets that flow of information, is that something that you can handle? Because he feels that they should be able to get the information a little quicker than what they're getting.
If they ask a simple question, they'll get an answer the same day or the next day. If they ask for research, Nobility asked us to put together a list of all the zoning violations for the last 2 years, and there were about 250 of them, and it took us a while to create that list, so you're not going to get that the next day. And so if we're creating information for a council member or doing research on something, it's going to take longer time period. So we get lots of requests for information from the council. We do allow their legislative staff to gather information themselves from other county staff. And so I think there's just some certain amount of complaining going on.
Are individual council members able to pick up the phone and talk to directors of certain, parks and regulations or other department heads? Are they allowed to pick up the phone and call them?
We like them to bring all of those constituent service complaints through the administrative process we have, because many times multiple people get those complaints and then we can send one response back. But if a council member wants to spend time with a division director or other staff because they're working on a bill, we usually grant that. So they have a capability to do that. What you need to understand is that the council members do not have the authority to direct staff. So the whole balance that you're looking for there is making sure that you don't have council people giving different direction than the county executive, and that you have staff time being used well.
Right. That's, and I understand that. They should be able to call up a director and say, hey, can you answer this question? And you say they can do that.
They can't do that just for a constituent complaint. No, we ask them to have that constituent complaint come through us. But if they say, I'm thinking about putting in this bill, can I go meet with this staff? We always say yes.
County Executive Jan Gardner, appreciate your time.
All right, thank you. You have a good day.
Go get another cup of coffee. Thank you.
People to come out and speak on them.
Yep, I appreciate it. Have a great day. It's 6:50.